Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Let's go to John 18. So we're going to start there. Because we're talking about this kingdom. And I'm going to see what I can extrapolate out of this. Help you understand some things. All right? That's our vision. That's our vision here at the church. And it says to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. John 18, there it is. Now this is Pilate questioning Jesus. And Jesus was letting him, making it known why he came and what he was about, and what his cause was. Now let's look at this. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." All right. So he said, "For this cause I've come into the world." What cause? To be the king. Right? To be the king. And, you know, the forgiveness of sin, but here he was making it clear to be the king, because there's a kingdom that he's reestablishing. And that's what I want us to have this consciousness of, that we're going to have a king in our life. You know, we can have a king. So, you see, when you have a king, it's going to affect your speech. It's going to affect your responses. It's going to affect every area of your life. Go with me to Matthew 5, 21 and 22. This is huge. Now think about this. Jesus was, he would say this. "You have heard, and it was said, but I say to you." What he's saying there is, you've heard all this tradition and all what all these religious people have said and all this. He says, but I'm telling you this. I'm saying this. And this is what he's doing. He's distinguishing. He's the king. Okay? He's the king. And that's significant, because we have to understand that. If we don't understand that, then it affects us in the way we receive things and the way we grow and mature. Now watch. Look what he said. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And right there, he's talking about the great white throne judgment. Shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. That's pretty strong. This is what Jesus is saying. I don't call anybody a fool. And, you know, I understand this. And when I hear somebody else say that, I'll say, wait a minute. I don't care if we're at Walmart. I wouldn't say that. I said that. You should stop saying that. I've had people get mad, upset with me. Shouldn't call anybody a fool. You hear what I'm saying? There's a difference in being a fool and being foolish. You see that? Shouldn't call anybody a fool. All right, now this is what he's saying. Now look, angry? He equates that with murder. Well, I got a temper tantrum. I got a problem. You know, anger is a secondary emotion. It's always connected to something else. See that? So we got to get control of our anger. It's okay. He says, be angry and sin not. You can be angry, but you don't sin. Make sense? This is what Jesus is saying now. Now watch. Look what he says in 1 John 3:15. He says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Did you hear that? You can't hate anybody and have eternal life in you. Do you see this? That's why. Because you see, if you hate somebody, you have unforgiveness in you. And you can't have unforgiveness in you and have a king. Amen. This king. Are we making sense? This is huge. It really is. That's why you want to forgive somebody immediately. You don't want to have unforgiveness towards anybody. Well, I have unforgiveness towards my dad. He wasn't ever there. You need to ask him to forgive you. If he's not there now, you need to forgive him on your own. And you can forgive. You can forgive people. They don't have to be there. You have to forgive them. You see that? Isn't that something? He equates that with murder. You can't hate anybody, no matter how they treat you. Isn't that? That's what our king says. Now, if you live that way, the only way you can have that is to operate out of his love. Amen. When you love people who are doing you wrong, that means you got a king. You can love people who even do you wrong. You know what that makes you? Stronger and wiser in life. Pay attention now. This is huge. And give me the next one. This is Jesus talking again. You've heard. Now, that's because he's a king, right? You see what he's saying? You've heard. You've heard what everybody else says. Oh, you know, everybody else has said. Grandma, Uncle Sam, and Tom, and all them people said. You heard what they said. But now watch. You heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Now watch. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now think about that. Jesus is saying, you don't even have to get involved in a physical act. All you have to do is look at her and lust after her in your mind. And that's like committing the act. This is not what everybody else, this is what our king says. You see that? Jesus said, remember, they hear my voice. If you hear that voice and hold on to it, it will save you from a lot of heartache in life. Now, I want you to zoom in a little bit. You ready? I want you to think about this. Pornography makes more revenue, more money than all sports combined. All basketball, all football, all baseball, all that combined, pornography. And you got it at your fingertips. I'm going to tell you something. You get that on your soul, it has the power to destroy your life. I've talked to people in prison. That's why they got there. All murder. People who study people who commit murder, they have a history of pornography. Pornography gets on your soul, and it will destroy you. I'm telling you, don't allow that in your life. Don't let your eyes go there. Now, I'm not being holy, and I'm not trying to be religious. I don't care what everybody else says, because they make jokes about it all the time. Jesus said, I'm telling you what, you do that, you've already done the act. Come on now. Am I making sense? So here's the thing. Well, I get tempted. Oh, okay. Let me tell you something. I want to help you with this. Temptation is something, when you understand temptation and out of his kingdom and you operate in this, it changes things. Now listen to me. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this. There's no temptation, such as common to man. Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation such as common to man. No temptation such as common to man. But watch this. There's no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, let's zoom in some more. No temptation such as common to man. Now this word, this phrase, common to man, you know what it is? It means this. It's the Greek word anthropos. And that's where we get the word anthropology. Look it up. The study of man and the human race. Did you catch that? Everything in detail about his desires, his body, everything. That's what he's saying. There's no temptation such as common to man. All of it. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. In other words, it doesn't matter. You know what he's saying? It's common. What you're going through, thousands and thousands of other people are going through the same thing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you have a trauma, abuse, divorce, loss of a loved one. Listen to me. God wants to help you. Even in that. Because look, if you allow that to get a hold of you, it will trap you and keep you out of the will of God for the rest of your life. There's a process for those things. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Well, I got hurt. My dad walked away from me. I understand. Other people did too. Don't allow triggers and things to tempt you to get that a hold of you. Well, my parents got divorced. You know what? That happens all over the world. God has a plan. You know what that's called? A disruption. Anytime there's a disruption in a believer's life, a disruption. If you're a believer, born again, he says you've been born not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God. which lives and abides forever. Think about what I'm saying. So when you have a disruption, something has happened to you, maybe you were left on a doorstep as a child. Whatever's happened, it's called a disruption. Disruption comes to remove the corruption. Pay attention. That's why it says the incorruptible seed. Now, when something happens in your life, you don't allow it to cause you to sow corruptible seed. You try to stay in, you stay in the incorruptible. You go through a process of grieving. That's good, but it's only for a period. It's not going to hang on to you. You see that? It's not going to control your life. You begin to sow the incorruptible. Because you see, if you allow it to get hatred or bitterness or resentment in you, now you begin to sow that and you become a prophet of your own future, and it's going to be negative and misery the rest of your life until you deal with it. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you catch that? Anybody catch that? I got to get my foot sometimes. Because look, people will use that victim mentality to stay out of the will of God. You see that? Well, you don't know what I went through. Millions of people went through the same thing. It's like it's coming. You see that? It's coming. And that's what we have to understand. This is so good. No temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful. What? Watch. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape. Amen. Zero in again. This is kingdom. Escape. It means to step out of with ease. Oh, did you get that? Step out of with ease. Just as fast as that trigger. You ever say, well, I got triggered. That's why I had to leave. Fight or flight. You ran away from and tried to get more relief from your pain. Well, just as fast as that showed up, you can resist that temptation and step out of it. When you understand what I'm talking about, with ease. Oh, did you get that? That's significant. When you understand that, you can go to your king and he's going to talk to you. He's going to give you revelation, understanding, and knowledge. Just what you need to bring healing, to bring health and wholeness in your life. You see that? And rest for your soul. If you need sleep, you go to bed. If you need rest, you go to your king. Rest for your soul. He will give you rest in your soul, and he will help you. He said, come to me, all of you labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You see that? He's your creator. He's the king of your life. Y'all all right? You want some more on temptation? I'm going to give you a little bit more on temptation. Now, think about this. James 1:14 says this. When temptation comes, it's because of your own desires. You see that? But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now pay attention. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now listen to me. Here's what it is. When you're tempted, the devil is not going to tempt you with anything you don't want. You see that? If you like medicating your pain and your pet peeve and your excuse to be a victim, if you like that and love that, he's going to let you stay in that. And he'll keep giving you, tempting you. You see, they don't care about you. They never did. They don't want you. They don't want to help. Oh, hell, I have all these voices. You're listening to all these voices. And there you go back to drinking. There you go back to smoking some weed. There you go back to having sex with everybody and their brother. You understand what I'm saying? You start to medicate your deal. Or you feel sorry, a pity party. No temptation. Now watch. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. You want it. But here's the good news. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see, when you take the bait, it separates you from God. And now God can't help you. He can't bring his kingdom in because you're illegally trying to get something from the kingdom that he can't give you until you get it legally. You better shut up. Now listen, now think about this. So, I remember I was fishing one time when I was a kid in Virginia. Some of you have heard this, it's worth repeating. I was fishing in Virginia, I think I was six, seven, eight. But I was down there fishing on the Swinging Bridge in Blue Ridge Mountains. And I mean, it just looks like a picture from a postcard down there. And I'm down there fishing, and I got these little worms. And I get these little minnows trying to eat my worms. But then every once in a while, this trout would come out from under a rock and look at it and go back under the rock. And I'm thinking, oh, please take it, please, 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 please take it. Because you can see it, because the water's clear and stream, you know. Please, 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 take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. Never would take it. So I remember going back to my grandma and I said, Grandma, I see those fish. They're not hungry. She goes, well, what are you using for bait? I'm using worms. She goes, oh, that's trout over there. Trout don't like worms. I said, what? She says, trout likes corn. So she gets me a piece of corn that she was cooking, already cooked, shucks it off, gives me a little pile in a cup. I took it and I put a bunch of it on the hook. Got back on that swinging bridge. So I was by myself, nature and all, just my own little world down there, you know. I escaped from all the dysfunction I had at home. It was like paradise. I dropped that corn down there. I looked out, comes that trout. Boom! I caught it. And the pole began to bend and it's shaking. And I'm going, oh, man, I got so excited, I almost went to the bathroom. I'm telling you the truth. I ran home all the way with this fish flopping on the end of that pole. And my grandma was laughing, but she took it and cleaned it and then wanted me to eat it, and I wouldn't eat it. But here's the point. The word enticed is the Greek word, and it means to be lured away, to be brought from under the rock. The Bible says, God is the rock of my salvation. You see, that's what the devil does. He knows what you like. And he uses that on the hook. And he wants to get you away from the rock, your protection and your salvation. Oh, did you catch that? And he wants to hook you, skin you alive. Now watch. It says in James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For after he's been approved, the word approved, passed the test, he receives a crown of life. That crown is authority. Now you have authority on your life over what used to control you, what used to think you couldn't live without, what you used to think you had to somebody pat you and coddle you all the rest of your life or take care of you all the rest of your life, or help you with your pain, or help you. You don't have it anymore. You got authority over it. Watch this. Because you're dependent on your king. And your king has told you, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is your helper. You see that? That's the way that works. Am I making sense today, guys? I know I'm preaching a little bit. I want to preach some more, but we're about out of time. Oh, goodness. Now watch. So where are we at? Temptation. Everybody say there's no temptation. Isn't that good stuff?
Hallelujah.
You see, when you begin to get a hold of this, but this doesn't happen overnight. You gotta grow in this. You gotta mature in this. You see this? And you can't see. Remember we talked about last week in I like this because, you know, as a pastor, I've been teaching over 40 years. As a pastor, I've seen people that have this victim. And remember that word I taught you last week? I don't know, did I teach you guys that word misericardia? I didn't teach it. I was the first service. Well, I'm bringing it to you guys because you're online and it's the second service and we've got a couple minutes. It's called misericardia. It's a Latin word. See, I'm a word nerd. That's why you got a preacher that is, when I tell you something, you can find it in history. You'll find it somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not going to get up here and tell you something that I dreamed up or I just heard on YouTube or you hear what I'm saying? This is misericardia. This is what it means. Mercy. Don't you like that? Mercy. Well, we got to give mercy to people. Yeah. Mercy is I'm not giving you what you deserve. Got to be merciful. No, watch. So this is what misericardia means. Misery. Well, if you put those two words together, it's a compound word. It means, cardia means heart. Your misery is coming from your own heart. Your misery is coming from your own heart. Did you catch that? And then that's what, you ever heard of the word commiserate? You want people to commiserate with you. You want people to get in your misery with you and hang out with you and become part of your misery. You're going to commiserate. Watch. Here's what it is. God wants you to share the truth with that person who's misericardia. And the truth has the power to set them free. You see that? He wants you to share the truth with love. And they will be emancipated. You hearing this? Set free. Because see, that's what happens. If you don't get some help with what's happened in life, it will hold you back and hold you hostage from the plan and purpose God has for you. And that's where fulfillment and that's where life is. God has designed you. But we got to do it legally, and we got to operate it legally. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? We gotta get out of here. I got a whole bunch more, but we'll finish it up next week. Well, we won't finish it because we're never gonna finish it. God's building this church. You see this? You know what? He wants you to have the best. He wants you to have the best.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.